Good morning, 29th and Neal Church family. Those that are here and those that are afar. There's a reason to be afar. Welcome, guests. Happy 2022. Glad the sun is shining today. In case you were wondering whether winter would come to Tulsa, I think we got a bone-chilling answer this morning. I'm glad to be together in the warmth and of worship and fellowship this morning, and I'm especially grateful for whoever showed up early to turn on the heater. If you're cold in the auditorium this morning, I'd recommend one of these seats over here that's in the sunshine and close to the heat. It'll be your responsibility to stay awake, though. Don, thank you for leading our singing this morning. That last song, He Whispers Sweet Peace to Me. That was something new to me, or maybe I've never paid attention to that song before, but that's going to play a role in our lesson in a few minutes. Let's keep that in mind. So with the new year, I have to ask, where are you in regards to New Year's resolutions? Do you do that anymore? Do you keep those anymore? Where are you? Are you for them or against New Year's resolutions? Well, you tell me later. Resolutions, like other forms of goal setting, can help us to be more intentional about what we do. Being intentional, or responsive rather than reactive, allows us to take a desired action in our lives. Therein, we decide to exercise our will with courage to something that we desire. Resolutions require creating or replacing habits. But my problem with resolutions is remembering that I've made them. I'll get a good start and then forget what course I'm on. Resolutions to do something like lose 15 pounds or read the Bible in a year, as well as resolutions to not do something like only eating 7 tortilla chips when I'm eating chips and salsa at the Mexican food restaurant, or to not use the credit card in non-emergency situations, those seem to be falling out of favor. Recently, I hear about people choosing a word as a theme word or as a motivational word as they begin the year. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine told me that clarity and confidence were going to be his two words for the year. Clarity and confidence. These words helped him with purpose and evaluation. So he would use these words, he'd ask himself whether some action would create clarity and confidence. If yes, then he would choose to do that. Or he might ask, what clarity is needed in this situation? Another way he would use that is he would ask himself, how would something add confidence to what he was about to do or intending to do? Again, habit plays a vital role in making the most from selecting a motivating or a theme word for the year. You know, in order to be effective, that word or phrase must make its way into the ways that we talk to ourselves. That's where it becomes present. That's where we become use it in making decisions. Today, I'd like for us to consider a word, and that word is prayerful. Prayerful is defined as inclined to pray or given to prayer. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, how awesome are your deeds. We join the rest in singing praises to you, the praises that are due your name. May our praises today and throughout this week be glorious. Incline your ear to hear us, Father. Accept our offering of thanksgiving for the possibilities and challenges of this new year as it stretches out before us. Father, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, seeing life from your perspective, and acting in love. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. This morning we ask to better know and to desire your will for us. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In Christ Jesus, amen. Sometime this fall, in something I was reading, I ran across the words, worshiping like Jesus. Don't know that I've thought about that before. I'm not sure what I was reading or the context, but I keep wondering how Jesus worshiped. It's kind of a new thought for me. I've really had a hard time getting my mind around the idea of worshiping like Jesus. I suspect that our worship is a little bit unfamiliar to the way that he might have worshiped in the times when he worshiped. A couple of Sundays ago, we considered Jesus' parable of the two debtors in Luke chapter 7, verses 41 and 42. You remember Jesus told that parable when he had been invited to Simon the Pharisee's house for dinner, and the sinful woman washed Jesus' feet with her tears, dried them with her hair, and rubbed them with perfume. In that lesson, you'll recall, we reviewed several places in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus' ministry grew in fame, where his popularity was growing. And we kind of did a survey and we moved through several of the early chapters of Luke, noticing the people that were following, the word that spread about him through the villages that resulted in crowds. During that survey, we read Luke chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Hear what it says. Remember this. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. This has just followed Jesus healing a man who had leprosy. Verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The words in verse 16 struck me firmly in the midst of wondering about how Jesus worshiped. With little insight from Scripture as to how Jesus worshiped, verse 16 reminded me how Jesus prayed. He often withdrew, or as was his habit, Jesus withdrew to lonely places or to deserted places. And some translations might say, or to the wilderness, in order to pray. As we look at the Gospel of Luke, the subject of prayer seems to be significant, as Luke writes. In fact, Luke opens the book with an encounter of prayer of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. He's serving as a priest in the temple. An angel comes up to him, startling him, to tell him that God has heard his prayer. We begin with that groundwork of prayer. After John's birth and Jesus' birth, in chapter 2, Jesus is presented probably 40 days after his birth at the temple. When he's presented at the temple, he meets Simeon and Anna. Luke introduces us there to that widow Anna, says that she's been a widow for 84 years. Now, she might have been an old lady, because she had been a widow for 84 years after having been married for 7 years. So that was 91 years capable of being married. Anyhow, that's not the point of it. The point of it is that Scripture tells us in verse 37 of chapter 2 that Anna never left the temple, that she worshiped night and day. And what was she doing? Fasting and praying. The subject of prayer seems to be a significant subject in Luke's gospel, but particularly Jesus' prayer practice. If you would, I'd like for us to trace this morning Jesus' prayer life in Luke's record of Jesus' early ministry. We'll begin in chapter 3, verse 21. Verses 3, 21 and 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. As he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What we learn here is that at Jesus' baptism, while praying, he received the Holy Spirit that was in the form of a dove and heard God's affirmation of him. Then, led by the Spirit, Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days, during which time, the devil also tempted him. In Luke chapter 4, after Jesus has been teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus has cast out an impure spirit. He goes to Simon Peter's house and heals Peter's mother-in-law and others who come to be healed and others who come to have demons cast out. Listen to verse chapter 4, verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. When they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. And you'll recall that Jesus tells them that he must leave, he must preach, because that is why he came. What I want us to catch from verse 42 and at this point is that Jesus goes out to a solitary place. Scripture here doesn't tell us why, but we can add this instance to chapter 5, verse 16 that we read earlier about Jesus often withdrawing to lonely places for prayer. As we turn to chapter 6, verse 12, listen to what preceded Jesus calling the 12 disciples to be apostles. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Jesus goes out to the mountainside. He spends the night in prayer. The result of that is that he calls 12 of the disciples to be apostles. If we keep reading, we look to chapter 9, we'll turn a few pages. In chapter 9, we have the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, the 5,000 plus. Verse 16 of chapter 9. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gives them to the disciples for the distribution, and the people ate. Jesus looks up to heaven, he gives thanks, he breaks the 5 loaves, the 2 small fish, and feeds the people. Just a couple of verses later, in verse 18, another instance, there's some separation here. It says, once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with them, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" So after this private prayer time, the disciples, he poses that question. we consider the great confession and Peter's answer to it. Later in chapter 9, the story of the transfiguration begins like this. Look at verse 28 and 29 of chapter 9. About 8 days after this, the after this would have been that instance of Jesus asking the question, who do the crowd say I am, and talking about his death. Jesus said this. After Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. The purpose? Prayer. The result? As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And then we have the story of Jesus being transfigured there on the mountain. We turn one more chapter to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1 begins with Jesus praying. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Here are a couple of observations that I want to call to our attention from this brief survey of Jesus and prayer in the Gospel of Luke. Do you have something to write with? It'd be helpful if you did. I'm going to share two words. I want to ask you to write two words down. I think we can find examples of each of them in what we've considered already. The first is the word prayerful. Jesus was prayerful. Jesus had the attitude and developed the practice of prayer. Prayer seems to be Jesus' priority. And in the examples that we read, action results from Jesus' prayer, or even in the context of Jesus praying. Luke describes Jesus as prayerful. Our first word is prayerful. Second observation, being prayerful allowed Jesus to be full of prayer. Having the practice of prayer filled him up with prayer. So our second word is prayer-full, as in full of prayer. Not even sure that's a real word, but we'll go with it. Because it seems like prayer has prepared Jesus for the action of his ministry. Sometimes that action was powerful, like healing the paralyzed man who was let down through the ceiling in Luke chapter 5, or feeding the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 small fish. Other times that action was influential, like choosing the 12 apostles or being transfigured. We could say that ministry followed Jesus' prayer practice. Our two words sound very much alike. One is prayerful, the other is prayerful. Jesus was both prayerful and full of prayer. Let's look at 4 verses in Luke chapter 5 for more clarity and confidence in prayer. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. I think in many ways, this gives us a visual image of what prayer looks like. Prayerfulness looks like addressing God in humility with an, if you are willing, I believe you can, attitude. That's what the leper had. He bows and he says, if you are willing, I believe you can. Jesus teaches his disciples later to pray that God's will be done. That's what the leper is doing for us here. He's submitting to Jesus' will to heal him. Additionally, look at verses 16 through 17 of chapter 5. We've already read and commented on, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Verse 17 begins the story of Jesus healing the paralytic that the four friends had brought to Jesus and let down through the ceiling. And that encounter begins like this. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem. I want to make a comment there before I finish reading. That comment comes from William Barclay in his commentary on the Gospel of Luke. What Barclay recognized in the text of Luke is that from this time on, there was to be no more rest for Jesus. Always, he was going to be, from this point on, under the scrutiny, the hostile, critical eye of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The opposition has crystallized, and there was but one end. Barclay goes on to say, Jesus knew this, and before he met the opposition, he withdrew to pray. The love in the eyes of God compensated him for the hate in the eyes of men. The approval of God nerved him to meet the criticism of men. He drew strength for the battle of life from the peace of God. That occasion of withdrawing to pray prepared Jesus for the criticism of the Pharisees and their oppression. One thing we take from that, Barclay would say, and it is enough for the disciple that we should be as our Lord. Do our days have challenges? Do our days have uncertainty? Do our days have opposition? The proper way to prepare is through withdrawing, creating a habit of prayer. Prayerfulness looks a lot like habitually withdrawing to pray to God and going about in his power. The last sentence there of verse 17, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. I almost think that God's power shows up when we submit our will to his and meet him in prayer. We really don't know a lot more about the mechanics of Jesus' prayer practice. I'm curious about things like, what did Jesus' prayers look like, or what did they sound like? What did Jesus say when praying all night? We have a few instances of Jesus' prayers recorded for us, but not all night prayers. One of the things that, I don't know, to me it seems funny, what did two guys from the same family who have always known each other and know everything talk about all night long? While we don't know all that, what we do know is that Jesus was prayerful. I get that Jesus' relationship with God is different than mine. I believe that my relationship with God could be better. And that's the reason for bringing this message today. A couple of other reasons for growing in our prayer lives come from Luke. We'll draw a couple of reasons from Luke chapter 6. One is in verse 40. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says, "A student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher." And if Jesus is our teacher and he devoted himself to prayer, by example and implication, we have that opportunity as well. In prayer, we meet our Maker, the God of creation. We spend time with God in prayer. Another reason for prayer is found in verse 45 of chapter 6. Jesus has been talking about the tree and its fruit, and he says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Prayer is one of the ways that we prepare our heart, one of the ways that we store up good in our heart. I want to share something that Matthew Kelly wrote, something a little bit maybe more on the selfish side of prayer. Matthew Kelly says, "In prayer, we learn who we are and what we are here for." That's in addition to meeting God, our Creator. Through prayer, we discover the best version of ourselves. We learn what matters most and what matters least. In prayer, we're given the courage to celebrate and defend that best of us, that best of creation, in each moment of each day. In prayer, we learn how to love and to be loved, because we discover that we have been loved, that we are loved, and will continually be loved by God. Scripture has much to teach us about prayer. I want to wrap things up with a story from Hayden Robinson. He was talking about raising children, and he was a preacher, and he included this illustration in one of his messages. He said, when our children were small, we played a game. So he'd take a coin, or a few coins, and he'd put them in his hand, and he'd close his fist. And the kids would come up, and they would sit on his lap. And the game was to try to open his fingers, open his hand, and get to the coin that was there. He said they would peel one finger open, and peel another finger open. And you know the rules of the international rules of not opening your fist, or opening your fist, is once the finger's open, it has to stay open. So he would give them that, and they would peel those fingers open, and they would get the coin, they'd take the coin, and they'd run away. And they'd be happy and gleeful and giggle as they ran away because they had gotten the coin. So it was a fun game to play with his kids. It's just a game. But this is a reflection that he has. He says, "Sometimes when we come to God, we come for the pennies in his hand. Lord, I need a passing grade. Just help me to study. Lord, I need a job. Lord, my mother's sick." His reflection is, we reach for the pennies. When God grants the request, we push the hand away and we run off gleefully. More important than the pennies in God's hand, I think this is what Jesus understood. More important than the pennies in God's hand is the hand of God himself. And that's really what prayer is about. Would you consider becoming more prayerful in 2022? Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible. It tells us of your work in our world. We thank you for forgiving our sins. And as Michael reminded us in the communion, seeing us clean in the life-giving blood of Jesus. God, you have surely listened and heard our prayers. As the psalmist said, praise be to you, God, who has not rejected our prayer or withheld his love from us. And Father, it's out of that faith, that reason we have for belief, that we continue to pray and that we ask for the desire and the habit to be prayerful. Help us to walk through life prayerful from our deep and abiding relationship with you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Did you know, or do you remember, that Jesus prayed for those who believed in him, who would believe in him? One sentence from that prayer in John chapter 17, verse 24 is, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you love me before the creation of the world. This morning, please know that Jesus prayed for you long before you ever knew or ever heard of him. Have you believed in him? He wants you to be with him. He wants all of us to be with him and to see his glory, the glory of the one and only. Let's spend time getting to know him in prayer. If you want to respond to Jesus' invitation this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing together.